Hello and welcome to Geek History Lesson Extra. I am Space Jason Inman.
That's not what you said before. I'm Ashley Victoria Robinson, but you already know that because you're beautiful, sexy patrons who support us here on patreon.com/jawline. And we're going to talk more about book club, Captain Marvel stuff.
Yeah, so we just did our Captain Marvel Higher, Further, Faster book club. We still have our guest, Victoria Mail, the amazing guest of Your Biggest Fangirl podcast. Did I say that right?
I'm a co-host, but sometimes Yes, but sometimes I feel like I'm a guest on my own podcast. So it's fine.
Okay.
I'm a guest on this podcast.
We call each other, like, we say that we're the host, even though we're also co-hosts. So yes. Everyone's
Yeah, we just say host. Your host. So since your podcast is all about fangirls and empowerment and stuff like that and just really cool things, we just talked about Captain Marvel, who is an excellent example of a female superhero. I wanted to talk about what you, and especially Ashley as well, this, because this is a perspective that I do not have as women. I would love to hear from both of you, what do you think are successful fangirl movies and television shows? Like, what shows out there do you think, what movies out there do you think just really nail successful women characters, women superheroes, women science fiction? Like, are there any examples that come to the mind for yourselves?
For me, particularly in the modern age, like post-2000, I think the Star Wars TV shows are killing it. And because of Ashley Eckstein, who is the voice of Ahsoka Tano, and the franchise that she has started with her universe as a clothing line and an accessory line, I think they really understand participatory culture. They really understand the power in fans. And through the female gaze, they do a really good job. Because Ahsoka, in her first movie introduction, I mean,
she's
sucks.
Terrible.
She's
terrible.
I'm
she's
really
terrible.
Sorry.
Snips.
You can tell. I don't even mind Snips.
I like it later.
I mind Sky Guy is what I mind.
God, I forgot about that.
You can tell that she was like a poorly constructed, really broad strokes character that through the performance and through people's reaction to her, she's a great design, really became, in my opinion, the best Star Wars character. But so I think the Star Wars television shows, I don't think the movies do it as well, have done a really fabulous job.
I will, and we've talked about this before, I think Ahsoka Tano is the greatest Star Wars character created post the George Lucas era, even though she was created during the George Lucas era. I just like to say that
post original trilogy. Yes.
Yeah, post original trilogy, she is the best Star Wars character ever. And that's a great example, because I think as well that Hera on Star Wars Rebels
is
one of the best Star Wars characters ever. Now, before we get too deep, I wanted to, should we clarify just for the listeners, because I assume we're going to have more men listening to this than not. I know we have a lot of women. What would you consider, what are we looking for when we say like great examples of women characters, like what stuff that they should do or stuff that they shouldn't do? I don't know, Victoria, do you want
to? When you pose a question to me, I narrowed it down to where the female is the lead in the story.
Okay.
So I don't have too much to choose from. I totally agree with your love of Ahsoka. We actually have interviewed Ashley on our podcast.
I know, I'm so jealous.
We're no one. Like, we are not a huge podcast. We are not Geek History Lesson. And, but Ashley is, she is just a force of light and good as a person. She made time on a day where she was so busy at a con to speak with me for 5 minutes. She invited Kristen and I to the Her Universe fashion show. I went to this event for Queen's Shadow, which is the Padme Amidala book. And another huge moderator, Amy Radcliffe, who's on StarWars.com. Ashley gave her start. Ashley invited her to cover a Clone Wars or Rebels premiere. So she's just all that is well and good. In female fandom, she is our like fandom goal goddess mother, and I could not be more obsessed with her. The people who came to mind when you asked me about that was Wonder Woman,
of course.
That movie was just, it was like cathartic, but then also so. The word that's coming to mind is nourishing. I think because I'm hungry. But no, that it was just like finally getting to see everything I'd wanted to see. And then also, what also came to mind was Captain America, but not Agent Carter. That was an amazing
series.
Especially
the first season.
Yes. I'm obsessed with Hayley Atwell. I loved watching Peggy get to triumph through the adversity of that kind of workplace, because I think that's really relatable as well. Like, not all of us are running around with Steve Rogers taking down Red Skull, mm-hmm. but I can totally relate to working in an office.
I think Supergirl does a really good job mm-hmm. with that aspect.
Yeah.
And then with like Alex as the answer, as like the non-superpowered Supergirl.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
But when you ask, like, what about the criteria that you're looking at? Like, I'm not even looking for, like, an AFAB character necessarily. That means assigned female at birth, if people don't know. Like, I am totally game if people want to make, like, more trans superheroes. And again, Supergirl is bringing that in with Dreamer this season. I think having a female in the lead is important. And unfortunately, the Star Wars shows don't do that. They are male-led shows.
Mm-hmm.
But having a female character who fulfills a role that is not romantic has become a big part for me. It's not that you can't have romance. Mm-hmm. And obviously we talked about in Captain Marvel how we really wanted to see a romance with Rhodey. But having them exist beyond just an object of desire is really important. And the way you shoot them is really important. And what I mean by that is in both Guardians of the Galaxy movie and in Justice League, Gamora and Diana have scenes where they're walking upstairs or they're revealed for the first time and it starts on their butts.
Mm-hmm.
And look, they have phenomenally toned bodies. They're gorgeous.
They have great butts. We have to say that.
They're gorgeous women.
They have better butts than me.
And it's not that shouldn't be celebrated. It's not that sexuality is not powerful and not a part of their characters. But I don't think that should be the sole criteria by which their value is based on.
Yes, I agree with you. And it's interesting because you brought up the Wonder Woman film. And for me, the scene where she crosses no man's land and the music swells.
I cry every time.
That gave me goosebumps. It still gives me. I mean, I would fight anybody. Like, if you were to ask me, pick the top 100 scenes in movies of all time, that's in the top 100.
Oh, for sure.
And that is so trans. And even the symbolism of her crossing no man's land. But so with that moment being so great for me, when I saw the butt shot in Justice League, even me as a man, I was like, what? Why are you framing the camera like that? Like, she's Wonder Woman, dude.
Like, dude, have some respect. Yeah, I think another thing that I really love about Wonder Woman and Peggy, and I'm not saying this is just my personal take. I'm not saying that this is a criteria that everyone should adopt. But I feel like a lot of the time, the only way you can be strong is through a masculine prism of strong.
Uh-huh.
And what I love about Peggy and what I love about Diana is that they are strong in their own way. And like specifically, I mean, Diana is all about compassion and love.
A baby.
That's like, I remember showing my boyfriend at the time, like just making him watch that clip. I'm like, isn't that so me? isn't that me when I see a dog? And so I love that. And then and then Padme. And I think Padme got done real dirty in the movies. I'm looking at you, episode 3.
You're right. I love her as a character, but yeah, you're right.
But that's why I'm so excited for Queen Shadow by E.K. Johnston, because I think it's going to be like a less problematic Padme story.
Mm-hmm.
So give her a little more love.
There is a perfect... There, I think, could be an amazing... Especially if you did it animated... You could do a really good animated Padme show, especially
or a movie.
Especially if it's set right before Attack of the Clones.
Yeah,
like because there's 10 years there where we don't know what she's up to.
Well, that's what Queen Shadow
is
about. It's about her transitioning from queen to senator.
Oh, I see. I'm in.
I also love about it, and I think is something that we need to look to more. And Captain Marvel does in not enough way, but you tried. Good star for that. Is having more strong female friendships. So the thing I'm so excited about for Queen Shadow, it's about her and all of her handmaidens who aren't just like gal pals. They're all highly trained. I've only read 20 pages of this book, but so far, but I'm so into it already. They're all like members of the guard. And she's wearing these huge...
They're like Dora Milaje's.
Yes.
Yeah.
They're wearing these huge... You know, she wears these amazing, just sumptuous gowns, but they're flame retarded. And she has these big gowns because that's where she can hide her weapons.
Mm-hmm.
So I think the idea of having these leads and letting them... And not to say that they can't have certain masculine aspects of strength, but also really championing feminine aspects of strength is also what just gives me all the life.
And something that Tori said in the main episode, it's like females supporting females is really, really important. I actually think the Runaways TV show does a really good job at that. Like the female friendships, and it's not that you can't be catty and it's not that you can't fight, but not always pitting the female characters against each other and not always pitting them against each other because they're fighting over a man.
Yeah.
I think is really powerful. And that's something that we're seeing even outside of genre, like in sitcoms, we're getting more of that. Like in Kim's Convenience, which is a show that Jason and I love, CBC show. Janet's best friend, whose name I cannot remember, the really, really cute African girl, they argue and they fight and they're petty sometimes, but they're never arguing over a guy, or they're never arguing because, like, you stole my look. Like, they're arguing the way that real friends would argue.
Over real things.
Yeah.
And you know what? Yes. Sometimes that's about a guy.
Sure.
But don't make that the only thing they fight about.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I was going to say, like, I would throw out a couple of examples, and they are buried definitely, I think, in... you know, kind of fighting about the man sometimes. I think Fringe is a great example, especially Anna Torv as Olivia Dunham. She's very capable. She is the most capable of all of the three main characters. And so she's definitely the leader of the team. And I think
it's funny because she serves that same purpose in Mindhunter.
Yes, but they also do sometimes bury her in the romance. But I do feel like she gets enough. There's more episodes of the series where it's more about her just being a badass than it is about the romance. And then another character I would talk about is Kate from Lost. Mm-hmm. Now, she definitely has her romance episodes and stuff like that. But when you go research the series, she was originally going to be the lead of the show. But it was going to be her show.
You compare her to a character even on Lost, like, is it Shannon or Sharon, the blonde girl, Boone's sister?
Shannon.
Whose only role is to just, like, make out with people and be in a bikini.
Yes.
And, like, Kate is really integral, and she is she's kind of the heart of the show in a lot of ways.
Kate is the heart
of the
show.
I say that as someone who only watched three
seasons. But there's also another great character in that show, and that's Claire, the mother, the newborn mother, who whose story is all about, like, how do I take care of this baby?
I think we need more things, because there's this idea in, like, mythology and witchcraft, right, of, like, mother, maiden, crone, of these three aspects of your feminine life. And I think we need to explore more outside of the maiden phase. Like, we need more badass moms. That's why I think Mrs. Incredible, Elastigirl, is such a great character. And we need more, like, older, powerful women. And General Leia was, like, a great evolution from Princess. And look, I would kill to be a princess, but the idea that she grows up to become a general is, like, very powerful.
I want to introduce another character out to you two, who I think is the greatest female character in television. Kira Nerys from Star Trek Deep Space Nine. I'm not a Star Trek person, but I believe you. So I'm gonna tell you, when you first meet Kira Nerys in the first episode of Deep Space Nine, she's a terrorist. Her planet has been completely controlled by the Cardassians. The whole idea of the show is that the Cardassians just left her planet, and Starfleet comes in and be like, we'll help you. Now, when Starfleet shows up, she's like, get out of here. I don't want you here. You don't know this situation. We just fought I've spent the last 10 years of my life fighting for our freedom. We're giving it away by giving it to you. And her solution to every problem is shoot it, blow it up, punch it. Comes to season 7, she's in charge of Deep Space Nine, and she has learned diplomacy. And in season 7 of Deep Space Nine, she wants to join the Federation, and she's calmed down. So she goes from terrorist to diplomat in 7 years. And I think she does have a couple romances in there.
But they never pit her against, like, Dax or Keiko. Like, she's never, it's not a problem of them having romantic stories. It's just that not being their only reason for existing.
Exactly. Right. And in fact, I would say, like, most of her storylines deal with the fact of that she's too hot-headed.
Yeah.
And most of her storylines are like, no, you need to be a diplomat because this is how the world works. You don't solve the world with bombs. Whereas, like, again, her entire first season is like, yeah, blow it up.
Yeah. I know what to do, guys. It's blowing
up.
Yeah. But I also think, you know, we've named a lot of great characters, but we've also named, like, a lot of white characters. And I think like, one of the issues going forward is, like, we need more Kamala Khans because we need to be more reflective. Like, we can talk about, like, body type. Like, we need to be more embracing of, like, all aspects of femininity because Bumblebee is, like, such an important character and Storm is such an important character, but we only know them as one thing. And the evolution of a character like Shuri from, like, basically a cheesecake useless Black Panther into the smartest person in the cinematic Marvel universe is really important.
And then I also loved, I want to slap myself, but I know I'll hit the mic and I'll ruin the audio about not bringing up the women of Black Panther. Also because, Okoye and...
I could watch an Okoye movie.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
My God.
Yeah. Give me that movie.
Or, like, Disney Plus. Make it, like, streaming or miniseries.
A Dora Milaje animated series would be great.
They've hinted at it.
Yeah.
And then also, but I also love Nakia. And I think because, and I get it that she is a romantic interest, but, like, as it comes for romantic interests, she was just so fascinating and I loved her. And again, I think because she wasn't just there to, like, stare moonily at Chadwick Boseman, T'Challa, and that she had her own thing in her own, life outside of her relationship to T'Challa. And then I loved seeing her kick butt. And I think also she was this very smart, savvy, compassionate character as well. And like, again, we all know I'm so here for Shuri. I am so here for Okoye. But I guess because like I'm always more of like a tactician where I'm like, where can I go from? Like, even though I do boxing once a week, I don't think I can leave with my fists. Mm-hmm. So I really appreciate the women who are very like strategic in their mm-hmm. approach. Yeah. So Nakia is another one who I'm just obsessed with.
And I do admire characters that can evolve like that. Mm-hmm. And I just want to end on, I think one of the best examples of that is our contemporary version of Moneypenny in the James Bond series. Naomi Harris is so capable and so powerful. And yes, she had an affair with James Bond, but that does not become her overarching storyline.
You know, I'll give you another one, and I'm going back to Star Trek. The best thing that Star Trek Discovery gave us is Captain Georgiou as played by Michelle Yao.
Yeah, more Michelle Yao in all things.
She is, even though she's only in a couple of episodes, she is probably the most diplomatic, and I would say possibly the smartest Starfleet captain they've ever shown. Like, she's just so smart, and she's so calm, and she's so zen. And when you watch the show, and you when you see what happens to her, again, I'm not going to say spoilers. You mourn for her. Oh, I guess gave it away. Sorry, she dies. There you go. Spoilers. She dies, but she comes back. You'll figure it out. The show aired last year. I'm sorry. But when she goes away, when her character is killed, you mourn her. She's only in two episodes that you're like, oh, damn, she should have been the captain of this entire show. She's that good.
Yeah, but she had to go be in Crazy Rich Asians and make all the money.
I get it. Michelle Yao, take the paycheck. All right. So anyways, I think it was a great discussion. Thank you, ladies. And thank you for introducing me for more wonderful concepts. Victoria, real quick, tell everybody where they can find your podcast, because, again, they need to listen to more of your thoughts.
Oh, my gosh. You guys are so kind. Also, I want to do quickly a plug for all the episodes you can find Ashley and Jason on. Episode 14 and 35 are Ashley's episodes, and then episode 25 is Jason.
Thank you.
And then I'm coming back on 38. I don't know.
Yes. No, well, I want to have you back for Super Soldiers. I need to talk to Kristen about it real quick, but I don't think she's going to be against it.
Getting some inside baseball. Like, it was my plan to email you sometime next month.
So. Yay! We're all about it. So you can find Get Hype for Jason's Return by listening to Your Biggest Fangirl on all the major podcatchers, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, Google Play, as well as Podomatic and a bunch of other little ones. You can find our website, which has our blog and all of our episodes, at yourbiggestfangirl.com. And then you can follow us on social media at YBFG Podcast, and on Tumblr, because of course we're on Tumblr, at yourbiggestfangirl.tumblr.com.
Yes. So please go, let's check out that podcast. If you like our discussions, I think you're going to like that podcast a lot, because Victoria is a very smart lady. Person. Very smart person.
No, I love being a lady. Yeah. I'm totally down for being a lady. I'm just blushing.
Victoria is a very smart person.
I'm blushing at being called smart.
All right. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you so much for the support. We love you out there. We're giving you a hug of support.
Yay.
Because you're supporting so much of our stuff. You support Patreon. You support the book. You support Ashley's Kickstarter. We love you all. I have been Space Jason Inman.
I've been Ashley Victoria Robinson.
And bye-bye, super friends.